Welcome to the Queen City Preachers Podcast. I'm Pastor Andrew.
And I'm Pastor Molly. And welcome to spring.
Woo! Yeah, it's an adventure here.
Which is not warm. It's not necessarily the time for spring here, but we're not mad that it's happening.
We're not. We're a little nervous for the trees and the plants and the, you know, and their longevity and well-being, but it is delightful to have this sunshine and warmth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. It just...
It's a balm for the soul.
Yeah. I always get that kind of like, kind of that energetic kind of feeling when things start to feel springtimey and I'm feeling it. Especially like St. Patrick's Day weekend kind of is that it's either really lovely or really miserable.
Yeah. And normally we're, you know, we're in this for another month and a half at least ish.
Of misery.
Of...
Cold of, misery.
Cold unpredictability.
Yeah.
And I got to admit, like, yesterday it was really fun. Like, our 2.5-year-old was hanging out outside, and I was like, I'm not really worried about how long you're outside.
Yeah.
Like, we're just enjoying this. It's not cold.
No risk of frostbite today.
Like, hey. I mean, we haven't had a ton of that this winter, really, but, like, but it's very different to just be like, it feels like spring.
To enjoy springtime.
Yeah. So, springtime.
Yeah.
Which leads us to John.
Well, no. I mean, we're kind of gearing up for the Passover here in John. So
true.
There's that. I guess that happens around the springtime.
It does.
So this part is like happening right after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So we are getting him coming kind of to those final days.
Yeah, we're starting to get Scripture kind of shifts us in the lectionary towards Holy Week,
the march
before
to the
Holy
cross,
Week in some ways, like that we get this before we dip in. And so, it's interesting because, you know, we start off kind of slowly with kind of life and Jesus's ministry.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's like, all the way across the storyline. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there was foreshadowing, but now We're there. So
Jesus. So just to put Jesus in that kind of emotional energy, because entering into Jerusalem, like the cross is imminent, and it's very apparent in John that Jesus knows that that is something that is coming.
Yeah.
So take that with what he has to say here. So given that, we are in John, we're in chapter 12, and we're starting in verse 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now, my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was going to die.
Alrighty.
So, now we understand the energy that Jesus is bringing into this moment. Lots of metaphors, lots of kind of cryptic language is happening here.
Yeah.
It's hard to understand on a first reading. There's just so many different things happening in this passage, I feel like.
Yeah, and there's layers, right?
Yeah,
It starts off with the first disciples, right? I mean, that they're the ones going to Jesus and saying, hey, somebody wants to talk to you and see you.
The Greeks.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then, which is interesting because all of a sudden we have this we have a diversity dynamic here, right?
Yeah,
different culture and community.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, and it's like, it's kind of this going backward and forward between what we heard last week about the For God So Loved the World, you know, now we're getting the people of the world coming to Jesus.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. are. And travel. I mean, this is one of the only times we really glimpse some of that other than Paul's writings and letters, mm-hmm. right? That really, really most of the gospels stay within the cultures that are mm-hmm. really fairly self-identified as Jewish or Gentile.
Yeah.
But still within tribes of Israel mm-hmm. in some ways.
And there's different kind of like little regional areas, right? Like, like the Judeans, right? From Judea, and the Samaritans from Samaria.
And Greek is far away. Greece is far away. So this is an interesting connection.
Yeah.
So the world has expanded.
The world is coming.
Yeah.
And so it does kind of make me wonder, because when I think of Greeks, you know, I think of like the things you talked about in your sermon last week, like the different words
for
life right? Or Greek words, right? I think of a very kind of thoughtful psyche kind of thing, right? And that kind of being like, what? So is Jesus speaking to the Greeks in kind of their lingo here when he's using?
It's a philosophical conversation.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. Kind of philosophical. And I remember when
that's interesting.
I kind of looked back. It's because I preached on this, I think, like 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's been,
that's we're back the cycle, in that cycle, right? Yep, 3 years ago. Yep. And I think I looked up those words for life there, and this one was psyche.
Ooh, so the meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we look ahead, which is the part that really kind of jumps out at me, that verse 25, whoever loved their life, right? We're talking about the words for life.
Life, yeah.
And the psyche is like the ego kind of
How we make meaning in ourselves for mm-hmm. our lives, but also it's the, how we understand ourselves.
Right,
it's identity. It's the most identity-driven, mm-hmm. probably, of the life words.
And I think that ego word is something, you know, that contemporary society really kind of understands, right? The motivation behind that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was the same then, but it is kind of this. When I think about it, I think about it as like the identity that we put towards the world, right? The things that drive mm-hmm. us that are very much about this world.
And about I mean, if we leaned into how I was thinking from mm-hmm. last Sunday, achievement versus reception.
Yeah. It's almost this facade of ourselves that we put forward into the world to kind of protect what is within, right?
Which really leans into that question of, I mean, with this, that to those who love that mm-hmm. will lose it.
Yep.
And those who hate it.
But which hate here is really reject.
Yeah, those that turn away from, right?
Their life in this world will keep it. And then
take away from the life that is about achieving
mm-hmm.
and turn towards a life that is receiving.
Yeah, that is.
In some ways, right?
Yeah, because when we get into the eternal life here and we look ahead, like I mentioned last time, to how John describes it, right?
Right, yep.
As in John 17, right? It is to know the one true God and to know Jesus Christ, right?
Right.
It's to that relationship in God. And so it's letting go of how you think the world wants to see you and that being your...
And receiving that is what God has done for you.
Yeah.
Right? Rather than saying, my life is what I make of it.
Instead, it is this gift of relationship.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Between you and God and Jesus.
And life is that give and take of engagement mm-hmm. within that relationship.
So within that, it's almost like I love like the connection between this 25, verse 25, and going back to the Greeks wanting to see Jesus.
Yeah.
Like that's really what kind of has grasped me in the sermon writing this week. And it's like it comes full circle. Like we want to see Jesus, and they find that like Jesus's thing is like, oh, well, this is how you like figure out the meaning of life, right? It is to know me, right?
Yeah.
And so they've kind of, in asking their question, they've received the answer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's beauty in that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the interesting piece is then Jesus goes on and unpacks more.
Yeah, and then there's some more.
And then
right?
you're just kind of like, okay,
mm-hmm.
this just got heavier.
Yeah.
Right? And why does John do, I guess for me that twist is like, mm-hmm. I kind of think about like, why does John, I mean like, how John uses the Greek words for life, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mentioned that in the sermon too, like this, that Zoe is the word that he prefers.
Yeah.
But he often uses, and so does Paul, uses the word psyche, mm-hmm. especially when talking about death.
Yeah.
And a death to something.
Yeah, it's a death of the self.
A
right?
death of the self.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting is here we have this, and then we dive into Jesus explaining what that death actually mm-hmm. means, right? Mm-hmm. Not just eternal life, but like, but that what this looks like,
yeah,
right?
And we get into that, yeah, eternal life, it's about the relationship, but it's also about, we get this kind of cryptic, which I want us to kind of unpack a little more, because somebody asked me about this in Bible study, and I didn't really feel like I had a really great answer. This Father, glorify your name. And then the voice coming, which Jesus can understand, but the other people hear as like thunder. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. Like where that already and yet to come. Is that just kind of...
That's an interesting question.
I'm not really sure about this one, is because it could be a lot of different things. Like, is it the not yet and still to come kind of energy of John? Is it like referencing back to the baptism of Jesus where God says, like, this is my son, the beloved? Which that happens in John too, right?
Yeah. Well, but I'm wondering if in some ways this is actually... Bear with me for just a moment, because this is kind of an interesting... mind trip. Is it's the question of
entering the rabbit hole,
and not too deeply though, I don't think. But is this Jesus wrestling? Is this not actually about necessarily an eschatological, theological, bigger construct?
Mm-hmm.
Is this Jesus then saying, I mean, what we've heard is, you know, those who lose their life will save it, those who give it up, right? Like, the you must set aside your attempt to create meaning, your attempt to create self,
mm-hmm.
And accept the belovedness that God has given you, essentially, right?
Okay.
And is this Jesus saying, and I have to make this choice, but it's ultimately God's choice.
Okay.
And in that choice is where glorification comes.
Okay.
That I have taken upon me what God has asked of me, which actually goes back to Jesus' baptism.
Yeah, yes. So it and is so, that glorified.
So it's that... It's that question of is this about glorification, but is it also Jesus acknowledging and saying, you get to set aside yourself because it's because of what I have done and I'm going to do again.
Yeah. Like setting Does the that, example. Is that what you're saying?
Setting the example of setting aside the self, but also of saying that Christ's actions allow us to rest in the meaning that God has made.
Christ's actions allow us to rest in the meaning that God has made. Okay.
So like saying, no, it's for this reason that I have come to the hour of glory. So Jesus is saying, it's not, you know, my soul is troubled. What should I say? I'd like to get out of this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'd like to make meaning another way, but God says, no, this is how life exists.
Mm-hmm.
Life exists in a way that is not of the world. And even Jesus is wrestling with that tension.
It's okay to be to lose it.
Yeah, and that losing it kind of sucks, but it's also what is necessary for glory. Mm. Is that too abstract? I mean, I'm just wondering if there's a layer of Jesus wrestling with himself and with what is being asked of him.
Yeah, I think there's something in me that pushes back against that whole idea, like the atonement and the glory kind of connected with all of that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a slippery, messy
quagmire
to wander into.
I think I get what you're saying, but I think that's the part that kind of rubs me in a way that's just kind of like, ugh.
And I guess I wasn't thinking about it as much as atonement, as much as, and not even, but I think that modeling is too simple of Jesus saying, I've had to do this too. Yeah. Like, I've had to set myself aside.
I too have to die. Now,
so,
you should do it too.
Too, right.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think what it does is it instead of diving off into the weeds, maybe the better way to say this is, I think that it articulates that loss has to happen.
Okay.
That letting go has to happen.
Yeah. And if we're still thinking about it in the sense of like the ego, the psyche.
the, I mean, bios as body, psyche as self, ego, identity.
Mm-hmm. And
how
maybe,
do we, where do we make space to actually receive?
Maybe we connect it to when you mentioned, and we both had mentioned the baptism. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not so much about the being glorified in the baptism, but it's being sent into the wilderness as well. Right. Where,
ooh, yeah. Yeah. These questions are going to be asked of you.
Where that's really the part where Jesus has to let go and live into his identity, because he gets that temptation, he gets the bread, the power,
right.
All of that kind of happens in
these
the wilderness,
offerings.
Yeah,
right.
Time, and so that maybe we don't just look at the glorification doesn't just happen with the God naming like this is my son, the beloved, but it is the being sent out and the going into the wilderness. And that's the glorification too. That I some snippet the other day that was interesting. That was like everything that happens to Jesus in the wilderness, all the things that he's tempted with, are the things that he does for others, right? The bread,
the feeding, the healing, the
mm-hmm.
power,
mm-hmm.
the saving,
mm-hmm.
save yourself.
He won't
right.
do it for himself, but he'll
take
do it for others.
Yeah, and I mean, there's, I'd say in a very easy way, because you have
yeah.
to then deal into, dive into political atonement and other ways to think about how,
sure.
what power and agency look like.
Yeah.
That's a, sorry,
yeah.
sidetrack weeds.
that's
like,
a rabbit hole.
But that's a rabbit hole. But I think fundamentally you're right,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting because then it raises the question of how, what has to be set aside in order to be able to receive, and does Jesus have to experience some of that?
Mm-hmm.
Or does Jesus model some of that for us?
Yeah.
And then in some ways how this passage ends too is what is the purpose of that,
mm-hmm.
to understand who Christ is? And it's
yeah.
that Christ, I mean, Jesus says in this passage, you know, this is all happening so that you understand what type of death.
Yeah.
I'm going to have.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Which ultimately is to say that my death is actually about life.
Life, yeah.
Which in some ways is what we've talked about the last few weeks, and in different
mm-hmm.
ways it ties back to the desert is,
yeah.
is it's a different type of death too.
Yeah.
It's there may be metaphor woven into the.
And I love that in connection. So the other passage from the Hebrew scriptures is the Jeremiah 31.
Okay.
Where it's the casting, the vision of what it's going to be like. Where Jeremiah is talking about the people coming back from exile, it seems like.
Yeah.
But it's that it will be like written on their hearts, right?
Mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
they will know the forgiveness of God. No longer will they need like the covenant where God takes them by the hand. They won't need the teachers anymore. Instead, it will be like this thing that is like deep within them, deep within their hearts, so that they just know it and they feel it. And I wonder, like, to me, I haven't quite grasped how to communicate it yet, but there feels like such a deep connection between that idea and this into a Jesus coming in and what that means, right? It will be so deeply within you. You'll have witnessed it. You'll have experienced it. That'll just make sense, right?
It makes me wonder if there's a play on physicality here.
Mm. Okay.
And I mean that through the lens of muscle memory.
Okay.
And even thinking about that to bear witness. I mean, this goes into trauma theory, and that our bodies bear experience
yeah.
of trauma and bear witness to it.
Mm-hmm.
But our bodies also bear witness to redemption
yeah.
and to the good.
And
I'm wondering if
that's
the legacy from Jeremiah
yeah.
like
comes into it.
And the reason that this popped into my head was also thinking about what does the thunder do?
Mm-hmm.
What is the physicality of earth-shaking volume, mm-hmm. right?
The
right?
power like, of God, right?
But also, what does that conjure up?
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, it conjures up fear, but it also conjures up awe. It conjures
mm-hmm.
up magic. I mean, like, there's these different layers, and I'm just wondering, like, how that memory is placed within.
Yeah, and that's, I like, somebody said last night at the Bible study that when they said, what does it mean that, like, I've already glorified it? They're like, oh, well, doesn't that, like, just go back to all those times, you know, with the Israelites, with the people, right? The God's covenants time and time again, like the salvific history throughout all of time and space, right?
Yeah, that, like, that God's covenantal promises do not begin with Jesus.
No, no, no. Right? Yeah, and it's kind of this done and not yet done kind of imagery of it. Like, oh, I have already glorified my name throughout all of time, right? Like, this isn't the first rodeo.
Which draws a huge question, because in some ways what it means, and this is something that we don't talk about very much at all, is we have no problem saying the kingdom of God is here and now and in the present and in the future. But for it to be in the here and now means it's also been in the past.
Definitely.
And sometimes we need to lean into that and say, what does it mean for God's presence and the kingdom to have been in the past, and how do we wrestle with that?
And I think it's answered in the what is eternal life, right? It's for the people to know God, right?
To know God and to be able to set aside whatever's getting in their way of knowing that, I guess, in some ways. Like,
and that's the thing in Jeremiah, too. It's like the sin, all of the sin will be forgotten, right? Anything that's separating will be forgotten, right? And that's something that people
released.
Don't always remember when we're talking about the Israelites and that, right? They think that there is so much separating them between them and God, right?
And this goes back to, in some ways, the passage, and I'm trying to remember if it's the parallel to this, maybe in Matthew or Luke, but the for those who hold on, like, that language about holding on to sin and letting go of sin,
the loose.
Yeah, letting go of
love their life will lose it.
And those who hold their that in that language too, there's this question of what does it mean to hold on to, and what does it mean to let go of?
Yeah, it's with the sin, right?
It's a sin language in the other text, and but to me, it raises that question too when we think about life here too. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be held? And what does holding on to do for salvation or not? And I feel like in some ways there's some of that with John here too.
Yeah.
Of like, but in a different way, because it's asking the question of what is the life that you hold?
Yeah. And I think holding on to control of it as well, right? Especially with the psyche and the ego.
Oh, well, Jesus is right there. Yeah. My soul is troubled, and what should I say, right?
And that connects back to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah talks about the covenantal nature of, like, this, like, you follow the rules, and then this will happen, right? As opposed to letting go, forgetting anything that separated us, and entering into this new time, which is almost this kind of like eternal lifetime, right? When no one is separate from God, which is a piece of the puzzle of Jesus. But
it is
how it's like almost God letting go too, God loosing, right? Where there's no more rules because they're not necessary, because everyone is like together and one in God and Christ Jesus. You know.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's kind of a both and. It's this relational kind of like God is letting go in the Jeremiah. We're supposed to let go in this, you know.
We're supposed to let go, but we're also supposed to trust what has been and is being given.
Yes, yes.
And I feel like in some ways, like Jesus there's kind of this little tweaking of like, it's not for my sake, it's for yours.
Yeah, yeah.
That language is kind of like this, that the booming and the thunder and all of this, and the reminder of this is not because I need the reminder, but because in some ways this goes back to John loved the cosmos. I love that, like, like the original world, Greek instead of the world, but saying the universe. That God so loved the universe.
Yeah.
And in that Jesus is saying, this is for the universe. Can you remember that? This isn't just about me. This is about something so much bigger, which means you have to let go.
And if you're in that. if you're one of those Greeks and you're still sticking around, you're like, oh, that's me too.
Yeah, and you're just kind of like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the things, too, that I always kind of connect back with the Israelites, too, the forgetting that they are God's people.
Over right? and over and over again.
That you forget yeah. that you're God's people. You forget that you're God's chosen people. Yeah, you are a part of that.
Yeah, and I guess that begs the question in some ways that this passage is laden with the heaviness of the foreshadowing of the cross. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the core of this mm-hmm. is about saying, who are we and can we remember that in the midst of a death-dealing world?
Yeah, yep. And can we have, I think it is like looking towards the cross, and it's also looking towards this hopefulness of the future.
Absolutely.
As well, right? You know, the we get the little political nudge in here, right? And then I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all my people to myself. Oh, but the now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. Right? Mm-hmm. I wonder about that. If yeah. it's a specific ruler or it's that attitude that anything else has power over God.
I like that. Mm-hmm. The thinking about and the rule and the powers of this world
yeah,
will be
yeah.
driven out.
What rules this world, right?
Yeah.
And what rules this world is thinking that power will save us from death, right? When really
yeah.
Jesus's death saves us from death.
Yeah, and I mean, and if you, depending on your study Bible, it might give you a footnote that says the devil with this is what that power is.
The devil.
Which John kind of. It's debatable, but like, but at the same time, I think that like
whatever your devil is,
it's yeah. kind of like the satan accusing angel, whatever yeah. is pulling you and directing you away from mm-hmm. that authentic self in relationship to God.
Yeah. Which might be the psyche.
It might be. Mm-hmm. It might be the world informing your psyche.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Saying this is who you need to be. Mm-hmm. Whereas God has said, Jesus is like, no, mm-hmm. no, let go of that. Mm-hmm. That has to die so that you can actually like
yep.
really live.
Yeah.
So,
whew.
Man, all right.
All right. That's a lot, but.
Yeah. And it's all Greek to me. No, I'm just kidding.
It's all Greek to me. We haven't pulled out the Windex yet.
Nope.
The word for
no Windex.
Kimono is the Greek word for orange.
Oh, man. My Big Fat Greek Wedding. For
yeah.
Y'all. Sorry.
Yeah,
if you need a reference point, that's where that comes from.
The new one's weird. Don't bother with it. That's,
good. I haven't watched that yet.
That's my public service announcement.
All right. The first one is the original. It's just great.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's,
fantastic.
It's beautiful.
But we're
it's
into
beautiful.
The third one now.
I know. It shouldn't be.
Just, it
there
wasn't,
are some things that just shouldn't be remade.
It wasn't good.
So.
It wasn't good. Lots yeah. of plot holes.
Oof. Yeah.
Anyway,
that, well, it's that season.
We hope we have taken care of some of the plot holes for you in this text for today.
Thank you for being with us. We'll be back next week. But you've been listening to the Queen City Preachers podcast here at Messiah Lutheran Church. And I'm Pastor Andrew.
And I'm Pastor Molly.
And be well, friends.